It's time for Rhema for Today.
You know, I think that Jesus was a person that had love and compassion and mercy on people regardless of where they have come from, you know, what their background was. And, you know, it didn't really matter because as long as they were willing to hang out with Jesus, Jesus was willing to let them hang out.
Welcome to Rhema for Today with Kenneth and Lynette Hagen. This week we went into the archives and chose Craig Hagen's teaching series, Don't Be Stupid. This will be a great week of teaching. Also, later in today's program, I'll tell you about this month's radio offer. Right now, here's Craig Hagen with today's message.
Praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles, turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. And I'm actually going to minister on the prodigal son. And it's going to be unlike you've ever heard the prodigal son story before, because I've never heard it like I'm going to minister on it. I want to start with Luke 15 verse 1, because I want to get to the point of why Jesus was bringing up actually these three parables. Luke 15, 1, I'll read from the New King James Version. It says, "Then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, 'This man receives sinners and eats with them.' So he spoke this parable to them, saying," and he goes through a parable of the lost sheep and the parable of the lost coin, and then he spoke the parable of the lost son. But it's interesting how Jesus was so awe-inspiring that even sinners came to hear him. And sinners came to sit with him and eat with him and be with him. And I don't think that sinners came to be with him because he was just like them. See, that's one thing that we have to understand. Sometimes people think, well, yeah, I'll go hang around, you know, the unpopular, or maybe they're the popular crowd. I'm not sure what they are. But anyway, some people who don't believe like us because, you know, I'm going to change them. But see, normally it's not. See, Jesus wasn't hanging around them. They were hanging around Jesus. There's a difference. See, there's a difference in going and hanging around other people, but, you know, if you really have what it takes, people want to hang around you. And I'm just going to be honest. The reason why sinners don't really want to hang around some people is because they don't have it together. And I'm not saying we ever have it together, because we really all do, because we have Jesus Christ, and if we have Jesus, we have it together. But the fact of the matter is that, you know, I've come to find out that there are people that are a little lost, they're not looking for somebody else who's lost as well. Or someone else that doesn't know really where they're going. You know, maybe they're not lost, like meaning going to hell, but they're lost. I mean, they're unsure of their relationship with Jesus Christ. They're unsure of their right standing in Jesus. They're looking for someone that's going to show them some answers. Because if they want someone that was not going to show any answers, they'll just look to themselves. Because they don't have any answers. And the reason they came to Jesus was because Jesus had the answers. Is it because he was a good speaker? I don't really think it was because he was a good speaker. I think there was really one reason that brought people to Jesus, and that was because of his love. You know, I think that Jesus was a person that had love and compassion and mercy on people regardless of where they have come from, you know, what their background was. And, you know, it didn't really matter because as long as they were willing to hang out with Jesus, Jesus was willing to let them hang out. And that's one thing that you learn in youth ministry, is that sometimes, you know, there's some kids, you're kind of wondering about them. But, you know, in fact, I've actually wondered sometimes when I was doing youth ministry, why do some of these kids even come to church? I mean, why do they come to my youth group? Because I know they're not living like that I'm preaching, because I know how they're living. But they keep showing up. And they keep showing up. Sometimes I wonder why they show up. Not because, you know, our youth group wasn't doing well. Not because the word wasn't good. I just knew that it didn't seem to be having any effect on them. But see, we don't realize sometimes, you know, sometimes we plant, sometimes we water, and sometimes we get to see the increase. You know, and I had a person years later talk to me and you know, about some time whenever he was in the youth ministry, you know, how, I mean, I didn't even think this guy listened to one sermon I ever preached because he sure didn't act like it. But he thanked me years later for the words that we put into him. And although at the time he didn't heed those words, but there came a time that he was able to remember the words that were spoken, and it changed his life. Now, you know, a lot of times too, you know, words are spoken, but they don't change your life at that time. But see, too many people are too busy worrying about what happens instantaneously. And they get frustrated because things don't change instantaneously. And because they get frustrated, they lose whatever they were going to get. Because, see, this guy kept holding on to the word. Because the word would never return void, but you have to hold on to the word. You have to know the word. But I want to get to the parable of the prodigal son. And I'm going to start reading with verse number 11. I'm going to go ahead and read the whole story, and then we'll dissect. Because there's many, many sermons and many different things in here that you know, and that's the thing about that I really get frustrated when it comes to ministers and Bible stories, is because we read a story, we clap, that was a good story, praise the Lord, and we go on and think, okay, the son got, you know, back to the Lord, and the other son got scolded because he deserved it, not because he really didn't deserve it, but you know, and it's all good. But what did that really do for you? What did that really help you? Did it not help you? Did you feel better after hearing that story? And a lot of times the answer is really no, because you didn't understand it. Because, you know, a lot of the story has to do with the audience Jesus was speaking to. They understood the story better than you're going to understand the story. Number one, maybe because you don't have a father that has a big inheritance to give you. So that might start out with a big theme. Anyway, the parable of the lost son, verse 11 of Luke chapter 15, it says, "Then he said," Jesus talking, "a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me.' So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered it all together and journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living." All right. "But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And then he went and joined himself to a citizen of the country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father, but when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servant, 'Bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. And bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they begin to be merry. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. But he was angry and would not go. Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years I have been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time, and yet you never gave me a young goat that I may make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, who had devoured your livelihood with harlots or prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him. And he said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. So obviously we understand in a portion of the story how you know, this young man spent all his fortune that he had and found himself in the middle of a pig's den and decided, you know what? My servants have it better than me, or my dad's servants have it better than I have it. So if I'm going to have to work for somebody, I don't want to work for this guy and, you know, barely be able to feed myself. I'd rather go back home. And that's why I always say there's no place like home. And obviously, the father took him in. But let's start back at the beginning.
Welcome to Rhema for Today with our hosts, Craig Hagen and Denise Hagen Burns. You can find more great materials by Kenneth E. Hagen, Kenneth W. Hagen, and the rest of the Hagen family by visiting our online bookstore. I want to tell you about this month's radio offer. We're offering Healing is Ours USB Drive, featuring Kenneth E. Hagen, Kenneth W. Hagen, and Craig Hagen. Next is Lynette Hagen's CD entitled, Do I Really Have to Forgive? Last but not least is Denise Hagen Burns' CD entitled, Living in Continual Peace. All these items for the special price of only $35. To order, call toll-free 1-888-FAITH-99. That's 1-888-324-8499. You can also order online at rhema.org. That's rhema.org. rhema.org. Or you can write to Kenneth Hagen Ministries. Our address is P.O. Box 50126, Tulsa, Oklahoma, 74150. We always love to hear from our listeners, so write in or email us today and become a part of Rhema for Today. Now, let's join Craig Hagen and Denise Hagen Burns.
$95.
Also, it's not too late to come to Rhema Bible Training College for the fall semester, or you can come in the spring. If you want to find more information about Rhema Bible Training College, you can go to rbtc.org. And if you want to apply, you can go /apply right there. But classes start the day after Labor Day is where registration starts. So, you know, time's running out. But you know what? Maybe God's calling you to come to Rhema Bible Training College, and it's a wonderful, wonderful place to be.
Yes, it is. If you want to check it out, rbtc.org. And if you want to check out all the things that we have, listen to teachings, read devotionals, watch our live stream, you can go to rhema.org, and you can read our Word of Faith magazine, just anything Rhema. Go to rhema.org and check it all out.
Tomorrow, more from Craig Hagen with his teaching, Don't Be Stupid. If you'd like, you can visit our online bookstore at rhema.org. Thanks for listening to Rhema for Today with Kenneth and Lynette Hagen.